Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And this evening, as we're here with you, we just want to share those words of Jesus as perhaps a measure of comfort for you. I know that ordinations are times when we deal with stresses and anxieties, but you know, God is faithful and he will see you through. So lean on him, depend on him, let him have his way, as we heard this evening. I'm certain too that it is everyone, it's all of you, every one of you gathered here, it's your desire that God's will be done this weekend. I certainly echo that. That's my desire too. I want God's will to be done in what is said across this pulpit. And so may God have his way in the service this evening. The title of my message this evening is The Call of God. It's going to be a simple message focused or centered around a few simple truths. I would call it to be more of a heart message than a point A, B, C, D, and E message. And in thinking of the call of God, if I understand correctly, there's something taking place or going on this weekend that God is very definitely and intently involved in. Apparently, God saw a need in the congregation here. He laid it upon the hearts of you brethren that there's a need for a minister to fill his calling in this congregation. It was God that saw the need. God that moved in your congregation. And it's God who will continue to move in your congregation this evening. As you cast your votes, God, if God is calling, then it must be that he saw a need and is moving to fill that need in your congregation this evening. If you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, I'd like to look at a Bible character this evening who experienced the call of God in his life in a pretty dramatic way, and maybe look at a few other examples from Scripture of men of God who had a special call in their lives, and just see if we can draw some lessons from it. We are excited to be here with you this weekend. I don't know how many of you are aware that about a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't positive that I was supposed to come. I shared my concerns with Brother Dave, and he encouraged me and gave me some room to think about it, and I felt distinctly that God wanted us to continue to plan to come. We felt sort of overwhelmed. We just found ourselves in what I would call a perfect storm of different things, responsibilities, family issues, church issues, busy schedule, and I just wasn't sure. I'm like, you know, I'm not sure if God wants me to go. But this evening, I'm glad to be here. And I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm here because of the call of God in my life. He called me to the ministry. And that's why I'm here. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here. Now, I wouldn't travel 12 hours for the ordination here if I wasn't specifically invited. And I have that responsibility to fulfill God's calling in my life. And, you know, there are other callings that we have. I am called to be a husband to my wife and a father to my children. And those callings are not necessarily secondary. I'm not here tonight to tell you that one calling is more. I think those callings should complement each other. As we deal with questions, issues of family, church, I believe that they should complement each other. And God wants us to fulfill his will in all of these callings. But sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we have to back away a little bit and ask God, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm thankful to be here. I think God wanted us here, and I'm excited about being here. But I'd like to look at the life of Moses a bit in relating to the call of God. Let's read out of chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Which, incidentally, Horeb is known as Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. God had a purpose. There was a need that God saw, and God called. God heard his people. Egypt is a type of the world, the lost and dying world around us. And the promised land is, Canaan is a type of the promised land. Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel. I should pick up in verse 8 again. And I came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And we know the story of how it was in Egypt. God's people, the children of Israel, were under terrible oppression there. They were having their babies killed. They were tortured. They were beaten and treated terribly as slaves in the land of Egypt. Come now, therefore, I will send thee, verse 10, unto Pharaoh. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, God said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Again, referring to Mount Sinai. He was going to bring, his promise was, he would bring Moses and the children of Israel back to this place in the backside of the desert to worship him. We'll stop reading there. Now, in looking at in verse 3, at the burning bush, I don't know. Thank you, brother. I believe that this burning bush was something that none of us have ever seen. I believe if Jehovah God could spare Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could take them out of the fiery furnace, deliver them out of the fiery furnace that was heated seven times hotter than ever had been heated before, and it was so hot that it killed the men who cast them in. But then when they were taken out of that fire furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. Not a hair was singed. I believe that God could do that. He could also burn, have this bush flame. And it was green. It was as though it had never been touched. It didn't smell like fire. And so he got Moses' attention. Something is going on here that I haven't seen before. God wants our attention too. And sometimes he has to do special things to get our attention. I wonder sometimes, you know, we get so busy with the thickness of thin things in our lives that we don't step aside. We don't pull away, pull out of the stream and the traffic of life to enter into the presence of God in a special way, to hear from Him. God wants our attention too. And this evening, I think an ordination is one of those things that does get our attention. You know, we have a tendency during these times to spend more time thinking of our, evaluating our lives, seeking God's face, entering into His presence, asking Him for wisdom and direction, asking Him for grace in our own lives. If you're sitting here and you're contemplating the possibility of having that the responsibility of being a minister of the gospel laid upon you, you're thinking of your life in a way. God has your attention. He does. And I have seen ordinations do things in a man's life. I remember we had a brother in our congregation there in Kentucky. We were planning an ordination. This has been a number of years ago, soon after I was ordained. And this brother came to call a meeting with the ministers it was the week of the ordination. Just came in with his wife there, and he sat down with us and he said, "We're planning on moving. I want my name withheld from the voting. I don't plan to stay in this congregation, this community." Brother Raymond Fisher was our acting bishop at that time, and he had the insight, the spiritual insight, to ask the question. He simply, I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but he looked the brother in the eye and he said, "Brother, is there something else that's bothering you that you need to share with us?" And that brother just broke down and cried and confessed, opened his life and confessed sins that no one knew about. Not his wife didn't know, didn't realize what was going on. He was living a double life and was doing a very thorough job of it. And I'm happy to say today that brother is a faithful brother in the congregation. He is living a changed life. God got his attention. We canceled the ordination for that time. We were a very small congregation, and we just felt like it wasn't the best thing to do to move ahead with the ordination in that time frame. But God wants our attention this evening. Tonight, we are standing on holy ground. If God has a plan, if He is intending to do something here, He has something He wants to accomplish in this church, if He is calling, and you have been seeking His face, He is here, and we stand on holy ground. God is seeking our undivided attention. What did Moses say when God spoke to him from the burning bush? He said, "Here am I." And God went on to tell him, "Take your shoes off your feet, for the place, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. You are in the presence of a holy God. And where God is, it is holy." There were other characters in the scripture, and I don't think we'll take the time to read those passages, but God spoke to Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah. Isaiah experienced the presence of God there in a dramatic way. The scripture says that as the seraphim spoke there, that the posts of the temple shook. And I can imagine that as Isaiah was there and he understood the holiness of God, who was speaking to him. He was in the presence of God. It shook him to the core. And the angels, the seraphims, cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." He experienced the presence of God there. When God asked him later, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." Paul, or Saul. He was Saul at that time. When he was on the road to Damascus, on the way to persecute the Christians in Damascus, he was struck down by a holy light on the road to Damascus. And as he was laying there on the ground, blind and confused, hearing the voice of the Lord, asking questions of him that he couldn't answer. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, I'm going to ask you a question this evening in thinking about being on holy ground, being in the presence of God. Does God have your willing and surrendered heart? Lord, whatever you have, whatever you want for me, whatever you want for the church, whatever your plan is, whatever your call might be, I am willing. I am surrendered to your will for my life and for the life of the church. This is really something that's true that I would ask each of you who perhaps are in the place where you might be eligible to be in the lot. Are you surrendered? Are you willing? If you've heard the call of God in your life, are you willing to answer that call? For the rest of us, let's lay aside our agendas. I've seen it happen in ordinations where church politics begins to work. You know, we traveled up here and you happen to be in a what we call a swing state here in Pennsylvania. I'm sure you're all aware of that. You've seen the signs and this presidential election is coming up and you see the signs everywhere. I didn't see any signs on the way over here for any of you brethren asking for votes tonight. I don't think anybody's been campaigning for the job. But let's be sure that we lay aside our agendas as we contemplate the will of God. I don't think politics are a good thing in the church, and sometimes those things happen. Let's be willing to allow God to work. Moses said, when he understood, he understood that he was in the presence of God. It says in verse 6 that he hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And Isaiah said, when he experienced the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Jeremiah said, when he heard the word of the Lord in chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 6, I believe it is, when he was caught, he said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Saul, who later became Paul, fell to the earth, and it described him as laying there trembling and astonished. He was unable to do anything. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days, seeking God's face to know what God wanted him to do. I believe that God is looking for a man this evening who has experienced the presence of God in his life and is saying, "I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a child. I cannot speak." Moses himself, if you look over into chapter 4, he said of himself, he said, "I am not eloquent. I'm not good with words. How can I do this? Go to your people. How will I do this? I'm not an eloquent person." And God actually told him there, he said, "I'll send your brother Aaron along. He's a good talker." But you know, I find it interesting that if you look at the account, you don't read a whole lot of Aaron doing the speaking. In a few places, it talks about them going together. It doesn't say who spoke. But in other places, it said it spoke. It addressed it or stated that Moses spoke. I believe that God gave him the ability to speak, and he will. This is the thing that we need to remember. Whom God calls, he equips. If he calls you, if it is he who calls you, if it is his will and his calling and his purpose, under his authority, he will give you, he will equip you with those things that you need if you'll trust in him to do the things that you never thought that you could do. I would say, as one qualification that is paramount for a minister of the gospel, and that is this thing of humility. Of course, you must be born again. You need to have that relationship. You must have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But humility is another prerequisite. If you're going to preach effectively, you must first enter into the presence of God. Because when we enter into his presence, it changes us. Just as it did Jeremiah and Moses and Isaiah and the Apostle Paul. It changes us. It humbles us. Because as we see God, and we don't literally see him, as we see him in our spiritual eye, as we see him depicted in Scripture, as we understand him when we pray, when we talk with him, we spend time with him, we're humbled. I call it a reality check. And I have to do that. I have not found, in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't work for me to sit down here and think, I can do this. I'll be fine. This is great. Not worried about it at all. I have to trust in God. I have to spend time with God. I must enter into his presence to again, in order for the heart to be prepared for the work that needs to be done, not just the ministering of the preaching of the gospel, but also if you want to share with someone, if someone's sharing a burden with you and looking for answers, whatever it might be in the work of the church, we need to spend time with God first before we go. And I would have to say this evening that something that is I want to take as a challenge for myself, I think I have sometimes forgotten that lesson. God, the prophet Isaiah, there was a coal that was taken from the altar that touched his lips, and his lips were sanctified. I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bring that need to him. We recognize, we acknowledge that we need him. We take off our shoes in his presence, just as Moses did. And when we do that, I'm not talking about our literal shoes. I'm talking about laying aside the responsibilities and the chores and the cares of life otherwise, to come into the presence of God. And I realize those shoes may be dirty. And I'm not saying, you may not call it sin. But our shoes are dusty from the cares of this life, from the things that press in upon us. And we need to take our shoes off when we come into his presence. Let's continue on. Something that blessed me is verse 8. When God gave this charge, gave this call to Moses, he said, speaking of himself, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. It was something that God was going to do. God was going to accomplish it. God had to do the work. He invited Moses to help, to work for him. Now, God could have done it with someone else. I believe that if Moses would have refused, that God would have raised someone else up to accomplish his will. But God called him. And there's something about Moses that is also true. If you look at the life of Moses, Moses had actually, I think he'd sensed God's call in his life before this. He lived up to the age of 40 in Egypt. And we know the story well. We know how he was placed in a little boat in the bulrushes by his mother, by his parents, because they couldn't keep him. They didn't know how they could keep it quiet, that they had a son in the house. So they put him into the river and committed him to the Lord. And Pharaoh's daughter came along and saw the baby, heard the baby crying, opened the basket, and there the baby was. She loved the baby. She adopted that baby, the baby Moses, the one she had drawn out of the water, and called him her son, adopted him. But then Moses was actually raised by his birth parents up into the teenage years, I'm assuming. But there's something that I believe that Moses did sense, that call of God earlier in his life. He was according to Josephus, he received all the advantages a young Pharaoh would receive, the best in education. He was trained in warfare and in leadership, leading men and moving materials. He had all the training to do those things according to the book of Josephus. And I realize it's not the Holy Scripture, but this is according to Jewish tradition. He was a general who actually defeated the Ethiopian army, led the Egyptian army, and defeated the Ethiopian army. So he was well-trained he had most of those things that he would have needed to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And if you read the story, you find that he had a burden for it. You know, he had all these privileges and all these opportunities, but he chose to place his lot with his mother and father's, his birth mother and father's people. And this is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26 says. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he chose to cast his lot with his mother and father's people, with his Jehovah, their Jehovah God. And of course, as he looked at this situation, he saw how his people were suffering. He saw the need. And he attempted to move into that mission. He saw an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew slaves. He looked both ways, didn't see anybody, so he went and he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. And the next day he comes out and he talks to a couple of his Hebrew brothers, Hebrew slaves that were fighting, and says, "Your brethren, why are you fighting?" And they said, "Who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" He realized that he was known. And so he fled from Pharaoh to the backside of the desert. He spent 40 years keeping sheep in the backside of the desert. Must have despaired of ever being able to be involved in helping his people back in Egypt. He couldn't return. But here God says, in God's time, God says, "I am going to deliver them and you're going to help me." Sometimes Brother Dave talked about time, patience. You know, it must have taken a lot of patience for Moses as he spent time in God's school, learning, I think, the lessons that God wanted to teach him. I believe that those tools that Moses had, those things that he learned in Egyptian schools, the skills that he took with him, did stand him in good stead when he led his people out of Egypt. But something had happened in his life. He was a humble man. His take was, "I can't speak. Who am I? I don't think I can do this, God." God is calling someone to a special work here at Summit View. And God willing, one of you brethren will be called to minister in this congregation this weekend, if God tarries. And remember, it is God's call. Remember that whom God calls, he equips. He will give you. He told Moses, if you look over in chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." And so God did. And so he will for you. Whom God calls, He equips. Trust Him for that. When God calls a man to a work, all of His power and His grace are behind that call. What you could never do in your own authority, which is what Moses attempted to do the first time. He attempted in his own, under his own authority, without a clear calling from God, to move into what he saw as a need. And it was a complete failure. He didn't get anywhere with that call, with that need. But when he went under God's authority, we know the story. We know how it worked out. God went with him, and that's the thing that God told Moses in verse 12. He said, "Certainly, I will be with thee," chapter 3, verse 12. And this shall be a, and so he was. He went with Moses through it all. And you can know this evening that if God calls you, that he will be with you. He will not forsake you. He'll stay with you. He'll give you what you need. My prayer for all of you tonight is that you can be at rest in the Lord as you proceed with the ordination. And I've been thinking in my personal life about the importance of being in the center of God's will, in the place of blessing. I think we have too many people that are asking the wrong questions nowadays. They're asking, why do we have to do this? Why can't we do that? Why should I teach Sunday school if someone else can do it better? I'm just pulling some things out of the air. There are many things that we do because we want to live in the center of God's. We want to live in the place of blessing under the spout where the blessing, where the glory comes out. And if it's God, if God is willing, if it's God's will for you, if you're one of those that are placed into the lot tonight, it is God's will for you. That's where God wants you. That is where you will be. You'll find his blessing, his richest blessing, in submitting yourself to that. And may God go with you as you do that. Let's rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your blessings to us. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this dear congregation. Let's pray a special blessing upon each one. Ask that your Holy Spirit would be with each one, guide each heart. I pray that you would give comfort and assurance, grace where grace is needed. I just pray that all can be done to your glory. I pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up and that you would build your church, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, would be held up in this congregation. I just pray that you would bless each one tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.